This episode of Ask the Garden Geek is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you have roaches in your house and you really want to save money and you really want to get rid of them, you know, the nasty little roaches in the kitchen, go to this website, HelpIHaveBugs.com. Watch the video, HelpIHaveBugs.com. Are you? Man, what is this winter thing still going on? Oh, I know, it's February. It's still supposed to be going on. We had a couple of cold days here. But yesterday, I'm recording this on Valentine's Day. But yesterday, Wednesday, it was rainy and cold. I didn't like it. Today, not so bad. Sunshine, high of only 69 degrees. Tomorrow, we're supposed to get back to, you know, almost summer. The day before yesterday, it was 84 degrees, you know? I had the AC going on in my house because I came home and it was something like, I don't know, 88 degrees inside the house or something like that. No, 85 degrees inside the house. I said, that's not comfortable. I turn on the AC. And then the next day, bingo, bango, cold again. Hi, everybody. This is Ask the Garden Geek. I am the geek. I am Michael Kroos, and I am here today to talk about Valentine's Day. No, I'm really not here to talk about Valentine's Day because, you know, it's just not. It's already happened. By the time you're hearing this, it's already happened. It's already gone. And I hope you had a good one. I actually had a good one. One of my ex-wife number two, came over and fixed me steak on the grill. She went out. I am the one who normally likes to do steaks on the grill. I'm actually quite good at it. As a matter of fact, I don't want to say I'm quite good at it. I'm exceptional at it. My brother told me, and my brother and my brother's wife told me that my brother's older than me. My brother and my brother's wife, who's also older than me, both, and I'm old. Man, that means they're ancient. Anyway, they told me that I am the best steak maker on the grill. Now, you have to know what kind of steak to get, you know, and you have to get, you know, grade A, and you know, but I do it really, really well. But the lovely ex-second Mrs. Kroos came over, and she actually did the grilling, and, you know, I'm a tough act to follow on the grill, but I got to tell you, she did an excellent job. She did an excellent, she gave me way too big of a piece of steak and a nice baked potato and fresh green beans that were delicious. And she had lobster. I don't like lobster. So she had the lobster and she had steak as well. So we just had a very nice, you know, we're just friends. We're not romantically involved, but we are friends, good friends. She lives less than a mile away. I trust her more than anyone in my life. As a matter of fact, she has keys to my house. She has the combination to my safe, and she has the PIN number on my cards. So she has access to every. Oh, and she also has the passwords on my email and all of my social media. So, like, if I were to croak, I will disappear off of social media because that's what I've asked. That if I croak, by the way, you know, someday if you just see me disappear totally off of social media, that's because I've croaked, and she has just removed all of my social media presence and just done all of that. She just, you know, she's came in and did. But I trust her totally, and she does the same with me, although I don't have keys to her house, you know? And I don't have keys to her house. She let me drive her car the other day. That was nice. Anyway, got to tell you what I did today. This was interesting. About almost a year ago, my son Zach and I went out and looked at a house that had massive trees right next to the house that were totally over the roof, and parts of the tree were dropping off down to the roof and all of this, and they were, you know, wanted our suggestions. How can we make this tree stronger so that it doesn't dry? I said, you need to get a certified arborist in here, and you need to prune this tree. And I recommended a good certified arborist who went out there and, you know, talked to them about it. And they had, let me see, six large trees surrounding their house. Their roof was a disaster. Just from all the droppings from the trees, was it just an absolute disaster. And so the reason I was out there today was to look at it is that because they had damage. Now, I did not see but supposedly a large branch. Well, it's not supposedly. It happened. I just didn't see the branch because the branch was removed. Dropped on the side of their house and tore off part of their gutter and, and landed on the ground and all this. And they wanted to sue the arborist. Now, I find out now that they didn't use the arborist I recommended. And they wanted me to to write a report saying that the arborist did a bad job so that they could sue them. Now, I do a lot of consulting, but one thing I do not do, and I just don't, because I don't want to be involved in lawsuits. I don't. Number one, on this situation, I recommended the arborist, an arborist, not the one they used, but I recommended a really good arborist to go out there and prune their trees. They hired someone else. And, they didn't tell me why they hired someone else, but they hired someone else. And they thought that the someone else they hired did a bad job, and they wanted me to essentially write a report saying that that person did a bad job. And because they were, and then, you might be called to be an expert witness. I said, you know what, folks? I said, here's how we're going to do this. I recommended you an arborist, and he's a fine arborist. I recommended him to you. His firm, just wonderful people. And you hired someone else. And now you want me to testify, essentially, against the someone else because you weren't happy with the results. It's nothing I'm going to get involved in, and I decline to take any money from them. I charge money to show up on somebody's property to look at something. I charge a lot of money to show up on somebody's property and look at something. And I just said, I'm not going to charge you any money. I'm just going to walk away, Renee. You won't have to follow me back home. What was that song? Anyway, that's what I chose to do. Well, then I called the arborist that I recommended. And I said, you remember these? And he said, yes. And I said, they didn't hire you. They hired someone else. And he says, yes, I know who he hired. He's not a licensed arborist. He's a guy who advertises on, the internet on that list that, that I don't want to mention the name of the list on the internet. And he's not a licensed or he's not a certified arborist. And they hired him. And I said, well, why do you think they hired him? And they said, well, because I was going to charge $2,100 to trim back all of the trees properly. And they got it for about $500. I said, yeah, that sounds about right. And I remember when I had a large limb removed that was over the top of my house from one of my trees, I paid $425 for that limb. And then one of the limbs from my tree was hanging over my neighbor's. And I paid an additional $300 and something to have that one removed. So I spent some money just trimming. That's what I spent. I spent more removing two limbs, essentially, from one tree than they spent on five or six trees being trimmed back from the house. And I didn't want to talk about anybody's work, but I couldn't even tell that there had been any pruning done. That's how bad it was. And there was still just all kinds of stuff all over the roof. And I said, oh, okay. Well, while I was talking to my friend, he says, oh, I got a call, got to go. So he went. I get a call from him later, just about 30 minutes later. He goes, guess who was on the phone? I said, who? And it was the lady that, the people that I had recommended him to that didn't hire him. And they wanted him to come out to their house and look everything over and write a report about how bad a job the other guy did, and he also refused. So what is the moral of this story? The moral of this story is don't take up my time. No, that's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is if you're going to have trees next to your house, which I don't recommend, trees belong in the forest, not next to your house, they belong on the far reaches of your property, not next to your house. But if you're going to have them next to your house, like I do, I don't want them, but I have them next to my house, you have to be ready to maintain them and spend a bunch of money to maintain them. Because, you know, trees go through, you know, every year, especially this time of year, there's a lot of dead wood. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, just needs to be pruned out of there. If you're not prepared to spend the money to do that, then look for things like this to happen. When I was younger, I used to climb the trees myself and do it. That was a while ago. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. This episode of Ask the Garden Geek is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you have roaches in your house and you really want to save money and you really want to get rid of them, you know, the nasty little roaches in the kitchen, go to this website, HelpIHaveBugs.com. Watch the video, HelpIHaveBugs.com. The absolute fun part about winter in Florida is when you have a cold, rainy day, which we had yesterday, by the way, cold, rainy, and then today it warms up, and you wander outside, and you look at your lawn, and the lawn that you just mowed the week before you mowed this lawn, understand, this is the middle of February, and you mowed your lawn the week before, needs to be mowed again. Okay, so we don't shovel snow, but do we have to be mowing the lawn every week in the winter in February? What's up with that? Okay, it is my own fault. It is my own fault. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. I am Michael Kroos. I am your chief geek. And yes, I did pounce a great big 40-pound bag of Milorganite onto my front yard. In addition to that, I got this other, which is very slow release, 100% organic, and wonderful, wonderful product. But I put that on there. And in addition to that, I got this other fertilizer, which I'm not going to name because I'm not thrilled with it and it's too expensive. But I got a bag given to me to test out and review. And because I don't have much good to say about it, I'm not going to name it. But it had a high analysis. It had a 2405 analysis, and it was a chemical fertilizer. It was, you know, all fast release nitrogen, and I put it down at the rate of a quarter pound of N per thousand square feet, but it released very fast, and I got a flush of growth. But this was, you know, a couple weeks ago when I did, 3 or 4 weeks ago when I did this, and then it was just gone, you know. It did have that potassium at the other end, and then by the time you add the Milorganite in there, and I put the Milorganite down at a half a pound of N per thousand square feet, and you're saying, yeah, and I've told you what all of that means, and maybe we'll spend some time talking about that as we get closer to all of you mowing your lawn or fertilizing your lawns for the first time. But, you know, I noticed that my next door neighbor doesn't need to mow his lawn on both sides. They don't need to mow their lawn. And the guy across the street doesn't need to mow their lawn. But the young couple across the street, a house down, do need to mow their lawn. And you know, I wonder why. Oh, yeah, might have been because I helped them dump a bunch of Milorganite on their yard, and I used some of that other fertilizer on their front yard as well. So that might be the key, because no one else in the neighborhood needs to mow, right? It's just them and us. And you know, I thought that they liked me, and they probably still do, but you know, the grass is growing, and they have to go out and mow it. I don't know if they're going to, but I, you know, have to mow mine. And I wanted to convert this year to an electric lawnmower. They said a bunch of them would be coming out. The one I want right now, the one that I had wanted was the eGrow. battery-powered electric lawnmower. And, you know, I've played with one. I've actually mowed a couple of people's lawns that have them. If I see them and I, you know, hey, can I mow part of your lawn? And they, sure, come on over. And these are total strangers, by the way. I'm driving down the road. My son's going nuts because I see this guy mowing. And I stop and we hop out and I say, hi. And my son is burying his head in his hands saying, oh, look at my dad. But I'm out there. I, you know, tell me about your mower. Can I try it? You know, and so I like that mower. I really like that mower. But I have been told by people that know that a bunch of new ones are hitting the market now for, you know, by different companies. I've been looking. Now, there's a couple that are out there. One that I tested last year that I was not impressed with, and I've read the reviews on it. But I've been told that other ones will be coming out and that I should hold out and before I make the decision. Well, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to hold out before I just go buy that eGrow mower. I just don't know how much longer I'm going to hold out before I drop the almost $500 on that mower. And I'm just going to feel so environmentally sound when I do that. And, you know, the nice thing is you just push a button and you're going. And the other nice thing is you don't have that loud noise of the lawnmower. And the other nice thing is you're not buying gas. You're simply plugging it in when you're done and letting it charge. And you're not, and I got to tell you, and I don't want to get into a political environmental discussion, but you know, cars don't release near the amount of greenhouse gases that they used to, because we all have these things on our cars now called catalytic converters. Plus, they got a whole bunch of other stuff that's mixed in there to, you know, make the carburetors more efficient and all this good type of stuff. So what comes out of the back of a car today is a lot less toxic than what came out of a car 10 years ago. A lot less. Or 20 years ago. A lot less. But you know what comes out of lawnmowers and edgers and weed trimmers? Terrible emissions come out of there and go out into the environment. And as a matter of fact, everybody mows their yard. Everybody in America has their lawn mowed. And the overwhelming majority of those lawns are mowed and line trimmed and edged and everything else with gasoline-powered stuff that has no emission standards to it at all. It just, that smoke's just billowing out of there, and all that stuff's going up into the air. And, you know, it doesn't sound like much because it's a lawnmower, but everybody has. You know, all the grass in America has to get cut during the growing season. All of it. It all has to get cut. And the fact that there's no emission standards for these, you know, this equipment, because I guess the government just didn't want to get involved in it, is making it somewhat, you know, problematic for the environment, probably. And so I've converted right now everything to electric except for the lawnmower. And this year, I am converting to the electric lawnmower. So I'm not, you know, I'm doing my part. And I think as these things become more popular, probably, I'm just going to guess that within the next, by the way, one of my cats is at my foot right now and using my leg as a scratching board. And it's annoying. But anyway, I stop. Okay. I don't edit. I just yell at my cats. Love my cats. Don't do that, please. Anyway, I'm going to predict that within the next 5 years, you're going to see a massive switch to electric lawnmowers, because we've already seen the switch to line trimmers and edgers and all of those things. We've seen the switch. I'm in a lot of people's homes, you know, on a weekly basis. I'm on a lot of yards. And I have noticed that a lot of people have switched to the electric, especially if you want a blade edger. You know, a lot of people do their edging with line trimmers, but if you really want a nice-looking lawn, you have to use a blade. You just have to. And a lot of people have converted to the electric ones. I've just noticed it already. Not everybody, but a lot of people have.
This episode of Ask the Garden Geek is brought to you by a very special website called Help!
IHaveBugs.com. If you have roaches in your house and you really want to save money and you really want to get rid of them, you know, the nasty little roaches in the kitchen, go to this website. HelpIHaveBugs.com. Watch the video. HelpIHaveBugs.com. So I got a call from a friend of mine, and he said, my wife is having problems with her pot. I said, what? She goes, my wife is having problems with her pot, and she needs your advice. And I said, what? Anyway, hi, you're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Gross. She said, you know, could you come over? Could you please just come over? And it's a friend. I said, sure. So I go over there not knowing what's going on. And sure enough, this woman plants annuals, and she has all of these clay pots outside. And she said for the last 2 years, every time she plants annuals, you know, spring annuals, that they just haven't been doing well. And what is the problem with all of that? You know, why is this a problem? And I said, well, let's go take a look at them. So We go out in the backyard to take a look at the whole situation, and lo and behold, I said, I got a question for you. She goes, what's that? I said, when was the last time you changed the soil out? She goes, never. I said, how long you had it? She said, 10 years. I said, okay. I said, it's time to take this soil and throw it out in your garden and go buy new potting soil and start all over again, because this soil has been depleted. She goes, oh, but I use fertilizer. I said, yeah, I know. It's been depleted and it's full of salt because, you know, the fertilizers that you've used throughout the years have built up a certain amount of salt in the soil and the soil's just dead. And so one of the things that I encourage people to do in the spring, especially with potted, you know, material, is to put a hose on it low and just flush it out totally. And you need to do that every year. But still, I change out my potting soil on my exterior potted plants about every 3 to 5 years is what I do. It's just what I do. I just take the soil, mix it into my beds, and then I just go out and buy new potting soil. It's just what I do. And she's getting ready to plant her new things. So, you know, she said, well, I said, you know, the most important part, the absolute most important part of any plant, and I've told this to my daughter, because my daughter was asking, you know, what's the secret to growing good plants? The secret to growing good plants is something that I learned from a man, an old North Carolina farmer named Garth Craig, who I worked with in 1972. He was 65 years old then. I'm sure Mr. Craig is no longer with us because he moved back up to a farm in North Carolina when he turned 65. Had to farm, been down here working for years, going back to the farm to retire. But he told me, he says, what the most important, the biggest secret to growing good plants is to have good soil. You treat the soil well, you will have good plants. He's the first guy that ever told me that, not the last. Guy by the name of Paul Baumiller, who I met in 1979. He's a graduate agronomist from the University of Florida. And he went to work for his first job in this industry. And by the way, he worked there until, I guess he retired 2 years ago. It was his first and only job working for a company. But he told me, he says, yeah, you want good plants? You want good vegetables? You want a good lawn? You want good trees? You want good shrubs? Have good soil. It all goes back to the soil. And especially in potted plants, because there, the soil is captured in an area where you have total control over it. Okay, you're considerable, not total, but considerable control over the soil. And, you know, like I say, on my potted plants that I have, I flush them out every spring, for one thing, but about every 3 to 5 years, depending upon, you know, and I look at, I don't have annuals in my potted plants. I have other plants. I've got a bird of paradise and one, you know, things like that. You know, just plants that I just keep all. I got one that has nothing but snake plants in it that I hate. I have hated this plant for years, but I've kept it. You know why? Because I started it. I started it with two tiny little snake plants that I just stuck in a good-sized pot. Just stuck them in there, see what would happen. You know, just did that. And over the years, it is, you know, creeping perennial, and it's just spread out and filled up the entire pot. And they're just growing. And I don't like snake plants. I just don't. A lot of people do. I don't. But I've got one that, you know, and I said, well, since I birthed you, so I guess I'm responsible to take care of you. And I've been wanting to take it to somebody's house and transplant it in their landscape. You know, just, you know, a friend that, you know, you like these. And I think I have a friend that I might do that for this year. My friends down in Seminole, they've got an area in the back of their yard where it's their pet cemetery, where every dog they've ever had is now buried back there. And I might just put this along the fence line because they tell me that they're on their last dog now. They're never going to, they just got a new puppy. And that when that dog croaks, you know, they're both in their late 60s. One's in his 70s. She's 68. He's 70. So they just got a new dachshund puppy. So they say when that one croaks, we're out of the dog business. So I may take it down there and just kind of spread it out and put it along their fence line back by their pet cemetery and just let it grow back there and just to make it look nice and just grow. But that's one of my potted plants. And I still, every 3 years, I will pull that puppy out and tear it apart and get rid of the soil and put new soil in there. I will just do that. And I do it to, you know, all of my potted plants. Now, I used to have a lot of hanging baskets, and I would do it to the, I don't have any now. I have no hanging baskets because in this house, I have no place to hang them. You know, I do not have a lanai. I just have no place. I don't have a front porch. I have no place to hang potted or hanging baskets here, which is sad because I like hanging baskets. But at the other house, I had that whole place in my backyard where I had a bunch of them. And, you know, I've been thinking about building a, what do they call it, a pagoda out in the back. I could hang plants out there. And but it just seems like a big job, and I don't know if that's what I want to do. But anyway, getting back to the soil. I'm rambling. Focus, Michael. Getting back on the soil. Earth boxes. I used to have earth boxes. I have empty earth boxes now. Been too busy to maintain them. But I'm going to crank up the earth box. I'm going to crank up one earth box that I put out on my back patio with new soil. Earth boxes, I change the soil out in those religiously when I was growing them every 2 years. I just change out the soil. I just do that. Now, you know, that's what you need to do if you want to grow productive plants in pots. Out in the yard, or in the shrub beds, you can't do that. You got to deal with what you got. You got to amend it. But a lot of nature is going on out there. You know, leaves are falling there. You know, squirrels are pooping there and all kinds of things like that. So things like that happen. The dogs poop. All that stuff happens naturally. That doesn't happen naturally in potted plants because most people have their potted plants right either next to the house or in a lanai or in a screened-in enclosure or something like that. And even out in the middle of the yard, if you have a potted plant out in the full area, like my snake plant is, it's in an enclosed container. It's a small container. So all the natural stuff that nature, you know, has happening in the rest of my yard and garden area isn't happening in that plant. So, you know, squirrels aren't pooping in the plant and birds, you know, it just isn't. It's just too small of a controlled area. So you have to switch that out. And as far as the rest of the yard is concerned or the shrub beds are concerned, if you concentrate on the soil, you will always have successful plants. Healthy soil, healthy plants. When I plant plants, I dig a hole and my good friend Stan DeFritis says, you know, I want a $10 hole for my $2 plant. And he's exaggerating a little bit. But, you know, when I dig a hole, I mix peat in there. I mix some other amendments in there. I mix some cow manure in there, the Black Cow brand I like. I just get that. And I throw that in there. And, you know, and I've even been known to throw, you know, some milorganite in there at times. but I make really good soil to grow my plants in. And then that works out. The Ringer company that makes Ringer Lawn Restore, that's always been their philosophy. Their fertilizer, their plant food, is not designed for the plants. It's designed for the soil. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. This episode of Ask the Garden Geek is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you have roaches in your house and you really want to save money and you really want to get rid of them, you know, the nasty little roaches in the kitchen, go to this website, HelpIHaveBugs.com. Watch the video, HelpIHaveBugs.com. I feel strange about what I'm about ready to do because it just seems like a vain thing to do. It really does. It seems vain. But I'm going to do it. Other people do things that I think are even more vain that I don't do. But, well, let me tell you what other people do. There are other people who have radio shows or that are influencers. I guess I've been, I was told by a radio consultant this 2 weeks ago that I'm an influencer. No, I'm not. I'm just some guy sitting in, you know, his studio doing a radio show. But anyway, people that do what I do have what they call merchandise. They have merch. And I've been told I need to do this forever. Have Ask the Garden Geek t-shirts. And I don't know. I just, you know, and a company that wants me to do this, they created an Ask the Garden Geek, Ask the Garden Geek. I can talk. I don't edit. I just keep going. Hats. And they sent me three of them. They sent me three hats. And they're embroidered. You know, they're nothing special. They're dark colored hats and embroidered. Ask the Garden Geek with Michael Kroos. There's my name on it, okay? And they said, you can, you know, have your picture taken in this. You can sell these things. You can sell these hats with your... And they wanted me to do t-shirts, and they wanted me to do, like, bags and stuff like this. And they said, you could just put these on your show. And I don't know, man. I just said, no. Do you want Ask the Garden Geek merch? I'm going to ask you. Here's what I'm going to do in this segment. I've got three of these hats. One I have promised to my oldest son. So he gets that. All right. He's been the biggest fan. He's 38 years old. He's been the biggest fan of the show since the show started when he was 8 years old. Is when I started doing. He was 6 years old, and he's been the biggest fan of the show since then. So he gets one. So that means I got two left. I don't want one. I am not going. I'm going to be at a convention next month in Orlando where I'm speaking, and I'm not going to wander around that convention with a hat on it with my name on it. You know, Ask the Garden Geek with Michael Kroos. I'm not going to do that. Am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong. Do you guys want merch that you would have to buy? Well, I got two hats, and you don't have to buy them. I'm going to give them away to the first two people, and you can do it if you've won a zillion things from me. I don't care. First two people to email me. Now, what do I want you to email me? And I'm going to send you a hat. Because I got two left. I'm saving. Well, Tyler gets one. And the other two are, I'm giving them away. And you can have a hat with my name on it. I don't particularly want one. And but I'm going to send those off. And I've only got two. So it's the first two people who email me. And by the way, I have a listener. And you know who you are. I record these shows on Thursday night, and I then ship them off to the network. And the network puts them someplace that nobody knows about. And that way, the engine, it's kind of long and complicated, and I'm probably telling you all kinds of things I'm not supposed to tell you. But they take the show before it airs on Saturday, and they place it someplace in a hidden location on the internet. And there is a guy in Maryland who has found that place because he's always sending me emails and he told me how he found it. You know, he's a good guy. He's a real good guy. And you, sir, are eligible to win this hat. But I will not accept your email on any day except Saturday. So midnight, no. Where you live, after 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, you are eligible to email. But your email has to be posted after 5 a.m. when the show airs. So you are eligible, and I hope you win. But he's going to listen to the show on Friday. Because he knows where that secret place where the show is hidden, and he goes and snags it. And I don't even know. I couldn't even get to the show. I have it here, you know, but I don't even know where this is. And it's a big secret. I'm not even supposed to know it exists. How's that? So he knows where it is. So you can enter the contest, but do not email me your entry until after 5 a.m. Saturday morning. And I want something with your entry. Oh, here's what I want to know. Should I do shirts or not? Yes or no? And everybody, please let me know if I should do shirts. If I do shirts, I will have really nice shirts designed and I will sell them. And by the way, they won't be chintzy shirts. When I buy a t-shirt, I want it to be nice. So if I were to have a shirt designed, you know, I would do that, but it'd have to be a really good shirt. But I'm only going to do that if you want them. If you don't want them, let me know. So email me at michael.kroos@gmail.com. That's michael.kroos. First two of you who do this, who email me, you're going to get a hat. How about that? You're going to get a hat. The first two of you to send in is going to get two of my, you know, one of my three hats. And the one hat goes to my oldest son, Tyler. But the other ones, they're gone. I'm not going to wear them at PodFest in Orlando. But if you tell me, I will say this, if you tell me that you want shirts available for purchase, I will have shirts made. I don't know if I'm going to wear them to PodFest, though. I don't know. I just feel strange about wearing something with my name on it, you know? But I see other people in radio do it all the time. All the time I see them do it. So, yeah, anyway, in the last moments or so of the show, I wish to remember my dear friend, Bruce Williams. Hi, Bruce Williams with TalkNet. Remember him? He passed away this week. He just lived up the road from me. Been to his house a couple of times. Great guy. We lost him this week. Farewell, my friend Bruce. This is Ask the Garden Geek.